Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you. Happy Friday, Nashville. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The Titans schedule is officially out. We will break it all down for you today. Connor, what's going on?
What's up? I think we've established that Corey Curtis gets a one-week ban from this program for potentially the worst musical take of all time.
Yeah, that's been the buzz around here. Is I heard Robbie and Joe talking about it. TD was obviously aghast at that take from Corey Curtis about Prince and Michael Jackson.
I say this as a massive Michael Jackson fan. That's bad. Like, I have never met anyone in my life that dislikes Michael Jackson, and I don't think Corey dislikes Michael Jackson, but
I will say, like, I understand his thought process. It's not saying it's bad music. It's just not music that he likes. It's still not a good take, and like, I disagree with him, but he's doing it in a respectful way, so I'll at least give Corey.
Well, while you were gone, he kind of danced around that with Parker and I as well. He said, well, I grew up with that music, so why would I want to go back and listen to it?
Yeah, that's a strange take, because I feel like everybody loves to listen to the music they grew up with.
What do you think we do today? It's White Girl Friday.
Well, I mean,
it's the kind of stuff we grew up with.
Well, like TD, every Thursday when he's in here, always talks about how certain songs take him back to being like 11 years old. So,
what did Robbie and Joe say?
That Robbie and Joe were in agreement that it's a horrible take from Corey.
Although Robbie has a also controversial music take, and this one I actually agree with. The Beatles suck, and I'm going to get torched for that one. But
oh, man.
I'm not a Beatles guy.
See, you can't say the Beatles suck. The Beatles are
they don't suck. We would not have a lot of the music we have today.
You can say
if they
that you don't like the Beatles, but you can't say they suck. It's the same as Corey. He's not saying that Prince and Michael Jackson suck. He's saying he doesn't enjoy their music.
Then I retract that statement.
I can at least give you that you can have that opinion, but you can't say the Beatles suck. Like,
all right, it's the wrong opinion.
Right. It's just like when somebody is that successful, and like Paul McCartney and John Lennon are obviously like some of the most talented musicians of all time.
They are not for me. I'll say that.
There you go. There you go.
A bad take, but they are not for me.
4312 and Dustin from Hopkinsville are both backing up Corey.
It's because they're factoring the people they are. You separate the music from the person.
Right, I agree with that. Well, Dustin just says Prince is awful, which again, like, I don't think
false.
You can have that take.
Good
like,
gosh.
You can say you don't enjoy it. It's not your favorite music, but like,
I've got us off
bad.
On the wrong foot. I'm sorry, everyone.
It's okay.
you're getting close to being banned.
Well, I haven't seen Jake in like 2 weeks. I haven't seen him since his wedding.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Craig says the Beatles are the most overrated band in history. Sure, you can have that take.
Because in the subjective opinion of your brain.
That is okay to say they are overrated. But again, like, I think there's a difference between saying that they suck and that I don't like them. Like, it can be your opinion, but objectively, their music is considered objectively good, right? Like, based on the awards that they've won and all this.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Speaking of things that suck, some of these NFL schedule videos, in fact, did suck.
Yeah, it's just they've gone too far. Like, I think you need to just simplify it a little bit. I like the Titans video. They keep going back to the man on the street on Broadway well, but
but it works.
It's a good well. Like, they've had a lot of success with it. I thought the lookalike video was well done. They got some funny ones. Like, I thought the Cam Scataboo one
was
really well done. Like, finding that guy and being like, that's Cam Scataboo. The Will Compton one was funny. I thought the Jerry Jones guy was great.
Yeah. The Woody Johnson guy was funny.
Some of them were stretches.
What about Aaron Rodgers?
Of course. Yeah.
I didn't get that one.
The Aaron Rodgers one.
You know, that's
one.
My broadcasting buddy from college.
Really?
Is it really?
He was featured. Yep. Moved down here from Chicago, and he's featured in the Titans schedule release video.
Where were you?
That's hilarious.
Why weren't you in it?
Because I wasn't downtown at the time.
Wrong place, wrong time.
I don't know where I was.
Who would you have been?
I don't know.
You could have been like Trevor Lawrence.
I could have been Trevor Lawrence with short hair.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence has the Colin Kaduf haircut.
The Trevor Lawrence one was great too, because like, it looked nothing like him, but he just had long hair.
Yeah,
that one was. The Titans did a good job. They always do. The schedule release videos for the Titans are usually towards the top of the league. Even last year, like, the it wasn't the man on the street, the schedule Rizzy that they did.
That one was, that's my least favorite,
see,
but it was still good.
It was well done. Some of the other ones, it's just, it's gone too far. I really enjoyed the Raiders one.
That one was funny.
It's not, that's not a schedule release. It's just a funny video, and then you listed the schedule at the end. Like, the Titans have at least stayed with the schedule release of, we are going to do a video that in order shows our schedule, and it's actually going to be entertaining. Some of these teams, like the Falcons, they did This Is SportsCenter commercials, but they just did a bunch of them in a row, and it wasn't actually a schedule release.
Yeah.
I think you need to, you need to make sure that you are still staying within the boundaries of what this is supposed to be. The Chargers one was long. It's like 6.5 minutes, the Halo one that they did. But at the very least, I think it stayed within what you're supposed to do with these videos. The Colts one, another example, well done. The Simpsons one was
good.
It
was well done, but I think if you have to be a Simpsons fan to enjoy it more so than others. Like, I'm not a huge Simpsons guy, so I thought it was funny. But, like, Chase, I'm sure, thought it was the funniest thing ever because we know how much he loves The Simpsons. So, I don't know. It's all subjective.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe I even asked Chase which one his favorite one was when he
walked
in. That's
why I looked at you. I was like,
that's, yeah, it's The Simpsons one. Overall, I thought the schedule release videos were solid, but, you know, some of them I just think it's gone too far. You're not, it's a schedule release. It's not supposed to be a feature film. And some of
that's why I thought the Titans were, it was like, what, 2.5, 3 minutes? You were entertained the whole time.
Right.
It was quick to the point.
I think
made you laugh.
The Titans have found a formula, and it works.
It works.
Now, how many more times can you keep going down to Broadway and find creative ways to do this?
Not many.
I don't know. I feel like you're starting to run out of options there.
Nothing will ever beat the first one. Like, the first one is the funniest and probably the best overall schedule release video of all time.
Well, it was what, 3 years ago? It was 2023.
Yeah, and then they did it again. It was the same thing the next
year.
Yeah,
and it wasn't as good. But, like, every single year around schedule release time, that video gets brought up again. It's like if you look at the college football aggregate accounts over the next 3 months, the Enter Sandman video post-COVID against North Carolina.
Yep.
It was like the first game where everybody was back together. That video gets tweeted like 1,000 times leading up to college football season. It's like,
were you there?
I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a fun night. You thought that the Hokies might actually be good after beating Sam Howell in North Carolina.
With North Carolina and probably the worst combo of all time, where they were wearing
white
tops, navy bottoms.
Yeah, anyway, that video gets aggregated so much. The same thing is true for the 2023 Titans schedule release. That video leading up to the schedule release gets tweeted by every single NFL aggregator account of, remember when the Titans went to Broadway and released their schedule? And, you know, people love it. People watch it.
I just think, I enjoy the videos. Overall, I think the NFL schedule release is the most overrated celebratory event of all time.
It could be an email.
I mean, we already know who you're playing. It's just a matter of what order are you playing them in. I mean, the only interesting factor in it for me this year was, will the Titans get a primetime game? And they didn't. And, you know, last night I went on a Twitter tirade about it, which I was upset in the moment. And now that I've slept on it, I'm like, okay, I kind of understand it because I see the other teams next to them that didn't get
right
either. It's the, like you said,
it's the teams that aren't expected to be very good this year.
Yeah. And I think it's inconsistent with some of the markets. Like, Jacksonville has a primetime game, but they also went 13-4 last year.
Right.
And then, you know, New York is not a good team, but it's the market. So they get four primetime games.
Right.
So.
The Giants are in a very similar spot to the Titans. Haven't been good in a couple of years. Second year quarterback. They got four primetime games because they're New York.
Mm-hmm. The Falcons have three straight primetime games.
Yeah. Yeah. The Rams have 7 primetime games.
L.A.
Right. Well,
Atlanta.
And the Rams are expected to be one of the best teams in the league.
7 primetime games.
I'm going to read this text from 1880, and we might have Chase McCabe come in here and block this number. Here's a hot take. The Simpsons is not a good show. From 1880.
In your opinion, that show's been going on for almost 30
years.
Again,
and I think that's the thing, is like you can say you don't like it, but it wouldn't be this successful if there weren't redeeming qualities to it. Same thing could be said about the Beatles music, even if you don't like it. Like,
I mean, I'm not a huge Simpsons fan. Like, I don't. I think it's a little dry for me, but That's just my opinion.
I just didn't grow up on The Simpsons.
Right.
Like, and it's one of those that if it's on TV and I'm watching it, I enjoy it. But it's
why I gravitate towards and Family Guy.
The Simpsons and Family Guy are the same to me. It's like I've never actually watched it all. Like I like dove into it, but I'll watch it when it's on.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's the kind of show it is.
Anyway, into the schedule. We're going to talk primetime games coming up in the next segment. There was one thing that kind of flew under the radar, but it was the only real surprise I had from the schedule release. The Titans are not playing the Panthers in the preseason, which Robert Saleh came out and said that they had a joint practice scheduled with the Panthers. I would love to know what happened there because they're not on the schedule. It's the 49ers, the Seahawks, and the Bears. So that was the one thing Robert Saleh said. I think it was at owners meetings. It was like, I'd like to do three joint practices, just one day each with each team. He wanted to do the Panthers, and they're not on the schedule.
We have a comment from a coworker on The Simpsons. Check your text messages.
Oh, man, I thought it was going to be Chase. Adam Vingan chiming in and said that, you know, he did not agree with that texter that The Simpsons is not.
Are we just dropping hot takes all day? Is that what we're doing?
I think that's what it is all week, right? Like, this is just, you know, it's hot takes about pop culture week here on Next
Man Up. We used to have a name for that, but you know, it's not around anymore.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to the phone lines. Dustin in Hopkinsville is called in. Dustin, thanks for calling. What you got?
Purple rain, when I hear it, my ears feel pain.
Oh, my goodness.
That song never takes off, man. It's like a backcountry road you're lost in. You don't have a road map. GPS isn't working. It never takes off. It is for middle-aged women, you know. I can't say that word on the radio.
I appreciate you not.
it's kind of like milk with an F.
Oh.
But anyways, yeah, it's for middle-aged moms, and that would explain why Rex Road is so tantalized with Prince. That is terrible music. Michael Jackson, though, that's great stuff. There's some that are better than others, but I think we can all agree that Elvis is king. Yeah, yeah, Prince is awful. Yeah, y'all can take that, eat it, do whatever you want with it. See ya.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Dustin.
My ears are bleeding.
Man, I mean, he came
this
in.
This is worse than
Rain.
When I sang WKU's fight song live on air.
Yeah.
That was a while ago. I don't think either of
that
you were
was,
here for that.
That was like years ago.
Yeah, this was before both of you.
Deep cut.
I do remember it, but yes, I was not in the room for that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to chime in. Our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can also chat on our YouTube page. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at 1025 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. We are off and running on this Friday morning. We'll dive deeper into the Titans schedule, primetime games. None of them for the second straight year. We'll look at the toughest stretches. And at some point this hour, we will just do a very quick 1 through 17, see where we end up on a Titans record prediction.
Okay.
615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Connor Nude, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. I will say, Prince sounds better than Dustin did singing this. Don't think anyone can disagree with that.
I mean, you cannot like the song, but I love this song. It's all opinions. And I respect it.
It's been a very hot takey week around pop culture on the program since I returned this week.
Man, it's like getting Mount Rushmore season started early.
I know. We almost did a Mount Rushmore yesterday.
Oh.
We kind of avoided it.
TD loves Mount Rushmore. So.
Yeah, he does.
We were going to do Mount Rushmore of NBA players.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we kind of got into that while you were gone.
Three of the four are gimmies.
Yeah. Well, kind of. Like Kobe.
LeBron, Jordan, Kobe.
Yeah, I think those are definitely three.
And then I'd put AI up there.
Really?
In terms of impact and, you know.
Man.
As your four?
Oh, are we talking about impact or
no,
GOATs?
Just like greatest players.
Yeah.
Oh, Kareem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty hard to argue.
I think the fourth spot is.
You might be able to say Bill Russell.
I think it just the fourth spot is going to be
pick your
Magic. Flavor, right? Like there, you go different eras and you can find a fourth best player of all time. Larry Bird, if you wanted to go more recently, like I think Steph probably is in the conversation up there.
Or if you're what's it? Skip Bayless. LeBron is not on.
Yeah, LeBron's eighth or something. Or
ninth.
Yeah, that was what he said. How about them making the comeback last? Was it last week they did first take again? Skipping Stephen A.
I didn't watch.
I did not watch. One of my friends was big on it. He was like, oh, this takes me back to my childhood. I was like, I can't take the screaming.
No, I don't. I was never a Skip Bayless fan, so I don't care.
And I got to live it firsthand with Corey and Parker on Wednesday anyway. So
where you just sat here and you're like, I don't know what to do.
I started standing up back here. I raised the mic to my face.
You're like Pat McAfee.
That's exactly how I felt, combined with Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, Parker, when he stood and raised the mic, I knew it was about to get serious. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are diving into the Titans schedule. NFL schedule release last night. We now know when and where the Titans will be playing their 2026 games, starting with the Jets in week one and the final game in Nissan Stadium against the Steelers on January 3rd. They will wrap up the season on the road at Houston in week 18. No primetime games, and I saw it was Jeremy in Clarksville says, why are people surprised that the Titans don't have a primetime game? Small market team, not good the last few years, no marquee nationally known superstar quarterback, no national following, no surprise there. And I agree with you. I thought they were going to get one because it's rare that the NFL doesn't put a team in primetime in back-to-back years.
I thought they would get a Monday or Thursday.
Well, I just think the biggest reason the Titans aren't getting a primetime game is because of all the money that has gone into these new television deals, whether it's with Amazon Prime and Netflix, and now ESPN's not doing the Monday Night Football doubleheaders anymore. Like, they want good games. All of these partners that the NFL has brought in these television deals, they don't want Jags-Titans on Thursday night anymore, like we used to get on NFL Network for years. Mm. Thursday Night Football, like when it was NFL Network Thursday Night Football, who cared? The NFL could kind of put the throwaway games there because it was like, it's our media arm.
Yeah.
Nobody's paying for these games. Like,
but
it's NFL Network.
But you knew people were going to watch.
Right. People were going to watch no matter what, but it didn't really matter. But now that it's on Prime and people are paying a subscription to get Prime and they're going to watch these games, Amazon's going to want good games on their network, and the Titans just aren't there right now. And I thought they were going to get one. I was a little surprised. Maybe not surprised, but, you know.
Disappointed.
Disappointed that they didn't get one. 15 noon kicks.
I mean, they are the last defenders of the noon kickoff, which I had to correct a friend yesterday. He said, why do they have so many 1 p.m. kickoffs? I was like, no, sir, it's a noon kickoff. We do not acknowledge the Eastern time zone in this area.
See, it's taken me some time to get used to that, having grown up in the East Coast, the Eastern time zone.
But now you're on
God's time. It was 1 and 4. I love the Central time zone for sports. I think it's the best. 12, 3, 7. 7.
Perfect.
It's great. 15 noon kickoffs, including the first 10 games of the season, are all at noon. All the way up until November 29th is the first 3 o'clock game. They'll play the Jaguars at 3 on the road, and they'll play the Raiders at 3 on December 27th.
Which is weird, because that's a divisional game, the Jaguars at 3.
But
they did that against the Colts last year?
One of the...
It was either Colts or Texans.
One of the divisional games was at 3 last year. I can't remember which one it was. But they play the Jaguars twice in 3 weeks, which has become more common.
They did that last year.
And they're doing that with Rams and Seahawks, which I think is one of the most anticipated matchups of the season. Like, those are, obviously, it's the defending Super Bowl champions in Seattle. Yeah. And I would say the Rams are probably your Super Bowl favorite heading into this year. They don't play until week 16. That's their first matchup.
Jeez. I mean, at least it's in the States. And unlike, you know, what is it? Rams or Seahawks 49ers in like Perth, Australia.
Rams 49ers is in Melbourne.
Melbourne,
Australia.
Melbourne.
Speaking of good schedule release videos, the Rams one was good. The Napoleon Dynamite one. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Napoleon Dynamite guy.
Really? My parents were very good. I would say I didn't listen to a whole lot of older music when I was growing up, but I saw all of the classic movies. That was the one thing that I was.
Oh, I understood it, and I appreciated it. That's just not a movie for me, but that's okay.
I thought that one was
I didn't hear this conversation. What movie are we talking about?
I was saying the Rams Napoleon Dynamite video they did yesterday was really well done.
Yeah, I thought it was that and the Chargers killed
the Chargers was just long. Like
it was 6 minutes.
Could they have?
But I watched
cut
the
it
whole
in
thing.
Half. I did watch it.
I watched about 3 release videos yesterday.
I think I watched 5, and I was like, all right, that's...
I saw a little bit of the Cowboys where they FaceTimed. different people?
Yeah, I tried to at least get the gist of a lot of them, like scrolling through. Like I saw the puppies one for the Patriots and was just like, man, I don't need to watch all the way through.
It was really safe. We know why.
Right. Well, yeah, the at least as far as I've seen, the Chargers were the only ones to take any subtle shots at Vrabel.
What the New York Post has
a message
for you?
Yeah, it was like the New York Post wants to send you a message. That was the only thing that I saw.
The Bengals had a good shot at the Ravens.
I didn't see the Bengals one.
I don't remember I just saw the clip. They took a shot at the Ravens. They said, "We're divisional rivals. You can't back out of this one." Talking about the Max Crosby.
Oh, yes, I did see that one, actually.
That was pretty good.
The Chargers one, when they play the Texans, they did the moment when C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams, he was trying to give Caleb Williams advice after the game, and he wasn't about it. That was hilarious.
They did get a lot of it, and the Chargers took a shot at the Max Crosby deal, too, right? I want to say
I haven't watched the whole thing. It's too long.
All of them kind of blur together at some point.
Maybe I'll do that today.
Too many of them. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. More scheduled talk throughout the morning. We'll dive into some of the tougher stretches of this schedule. I think overall, it's a pretty evenly balanced schedule.
It's a last-place schedule.
For the Titans, no, but like there isn't a stretch like last year. I think you pointed at the opening to the season with like Rams and Broncos, Rams, and then the Colts obviously ended up being really good. The first month of the season looked really tough on paper last year. Obviously, we don't know. It's the NFL. Teams surprise us, good or bad, every year. But I do think this is a pretty evenly balanced schedule, and we can get into that more coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and all of our football offseason coverage is brought to you by Tennessee Brewworks. Finely tuned craft beer for finely tuned fans. Tennessee Brewworks, official craft beer of the offseason coverage on 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday morning. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Hey, Vanderbilt baseball takes on South Carolina at Hawkins Field. First pitch is at 6 p.m. and you can catch all of the action on 102.5 The Game. Coverage is presented by Gary Force Acura. Big win for the Vandy boys last night. 9-1 over the Gamecocks to start the final series of the season. Titans have their schedule out, and we've gone through no primetime games. Again, not a super big surprise, but I thought they might get one after being shut out last year as well. Chance to play their way into some primetime games, but we can get into that a little bit later. The toughest stretch of the season. I do think this is a really evenly balanced schedule. You've got four home games before the bye. You got a bye in the middle of the season. You got four home games after the bye. I think there's winnable games early. The Jets, the Giants. You got your divisional games, the Browns before the bye. Later on, you've got more divisional games, home games against the Commanders and the Steelers, road game against the Raiders. Like it's an evenly balanced schedule. If I had to pick the toughest stretch of the year, I think it's the month, like October, right before the bye, where you've got at the Ravens, Texans at home, at the Colts. Browns at home is a nice little, easier one in there, and then at the Bengals. I think that's probably the toughest month of the season, but overall, I think you've got a good balance between your tougher games and your more winnable games.
Yeah, it's pretty balanced. If you were to ask me the toughest stretch, I'd go right after that, after the bye, where it's Jags, Cowboys, or Jags at home, at Dallas, at the Jags, Commanders at home, and then
Lions
Detroit.
On the road, yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely the first four games or first three games where you've got both New York teams. I think both of those are winnable games. And then the end of your season, Colts at home. We really don't know what the Colts are going to be this year. Is Daniel Jones going to be healthy coming off the Achilles? And then the Raiders, rookie quarterback, they're probably in a similar boat to the Titans. And then the Steelers. I don't think they're going to be very good this year. Like, Mike McCarthy is a good high-floor coach. I don't think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. But if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, meh. And, like, if he's not your quarterback, then it's Will Howard or Drew Aller, meh.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Steelers at home, especially last home game at that stadium, I think that's a very winnable game.
Which is perfect, in my opinion. The fact that the Steelers are your last... Assuming they don't host
a playoff game, which I think is
a fair assumption.
Very unlikely.
I think that is the perfect opponent to wrap things up at Nissan Stadium, just because of the history that those teams have had together. My first Titans game ever as a kid was a Titans-Steelers game. And, like, I think it was 08. It was Chris Johnson's big year.
Yeah.
I remember that. It was back when
That was a big Steelers game. I still remember the video of Lendale White stomping the terrible towel on the sideline after the win. That might have clinched the one seed for them that year.
It was either that year or the year after.
It might have been, if you're thinking of CJ's 2,000-yard season, it would have been the year after.
Okay.
But
it was either 08 or 09.
But
I was little.
08 was the year they were the one seed, and I do remember, I think Michael Griffin might have had a pick that sealed it or something like that. I might be remembering wrong.
I remember it was really, really cold that day.
Yeah, that would make sense. I think it was in December.
Yeah.
And that's probably my fondest memory of a Steelers-Titans game in Nissan Stadium. I'm trying to think of any other ones. I guess back then
LP Field. I remember LP Field. I don't remember Adelphia. I remember LP Field.
Yeah, they had more history, the Steelers and Titans, earlier on because they were in the same division, right? The AFC Central at that point. So,
and they were both good. Like, they would always run
into
each other.
Right. Well, and of course, the Steelers and Oilers have plenty of history going back further of, like, the Oilers just couldn't get over the hump to get to the Super Bowl because they kept running into the Steelers in the playoffs. But that I agree. I think that's a good way to end the current Nissan Stadium.
You know what I hope they do, though?
What?
I hope they wear the original uniforms. They're not going to.
That would be hilarious if they did the throwback of the original Titans uniforms
just
for
the
final
white
game.
The white, navy, white. It looks so good.
Oh, yeah. White, navy, white. Yeah. I think that would be solid. We'll see. I doubt they do that. I'm interested to see what the rivalry uniforms look like. And
I think they're navy.
That was the rivalry uniform was what everybody was pointing to as a reason they might have a primetime game, and clearly that didn't work out. But overall, I like the schedule. I think it is a favorable draw for the Titans. And that doesn't mean that they're a playoff team. I just think you look at the way the schedule is laid out, you don't have more than two back-to-back road games, which last year they had a three-game road trip at one point.
Coming off a bye, too, I think.
Right. You get the bye in the middle of the season. And when you look, there's not a whole lot of back-to-back games that I look at and say, man, that's really tough to play those two teams back-to-back. Like, you get the Jets to start the year. And I'm never going to call a week one game a must-win. I just saw a tweet from Easton Freeze about how the Patriots lost to the Raiders last year in week one and went to the Super Bowl. Geno Smith, the quarterback in that game as well. But I do look at just, and we talked with TD about this, a team that's won six games in 2 years and a young quarterback trying to find his way in the league, getting a win in week one and just being 1-0, I feel like could just go a long way for this team. So obviously there's no must wins in week one, but it does feel really important to get off on the right foot if this team is going to show progress in 2026.
Well, there are some personal storylines there as well. I mean, on our side, on the Titans side, you got Robert Saleh playing his former team.
Right, chip on his shoulder, yep.
But then, if you were to surf across the interwebs last night, you see Jarvis Brownlee calling it a quote-unquote
bloodbath. Get ready
for
a bloodbath.
And Tavondre Sweat said something, too.
He put up a couple, like, emojis on Twitter about that game being week one.
So it's personal. There's personal things there. And, like, every game in football is personal. There's personal storylines in everyone. But I agree with you. I don't think this is a must win, but just for the sake of morale and feeling like, hey, we're undefeated for the first time in God knows how long this season. So I think that would be a big one to get. And I think it helps that, you know, the Jets aren't going to be very good. We don't think the Titans are going to be very good. So hold your breath there. But it's at home. You're in front of a crowd that you should outnumber. Like, there should be more blue than green in that crowd.
Yeah, I would
think.
Hope so.
So I think
the next week there will be more green than blue, I think.
Yeah.
Eagles.
I would imagine there's more blue than Titans blue the next week.
Well, they're
on the road.
They're on the road.
So yeah, my point stands. I think it's an appropriate game for week one, and I think it's a very, very winnable game in week one.
It is funny. I bet they're saying the exact same thing up in New York.
Yeah.
Of like, man, we got the Titans in week one. This is great. Get off to a good start. one of those teams is going to have to be 1-0, and one's going to be 0-1. I do think that that is a good draw for the Titans to start the season. You get that game at home. You know, the Eagles game is going to be tough in week two, but it's going to be a different-looking Eagles team. We heavily expect that 3 weeks from now, A.J. Brown is not going to be a Philadelphia Eagle. So it's there aren't a whole lot of games on here that I look at and say, that's a juggernaut. You can't win that game, right? Like, you're not facing the NFC West, where I would look at the Rams game, the Seahawks game, heck, even the 49ers game, you know, and be like, yeah, you're going to have a really tough time winning those games.
And then there's the Cardinals.
We saw that play out last year. But getting the NFC East, the NFC East is always an interesting division. Like, is it still going that they have had a different champion for, like, 20-something years straight? They haven't had a back-to-back champ. Maybe the Eagles.
No, the Eagles did.
The Eagles broke it last year. That's what it was. But again, that's not a crazy division to face. You're also getting the AFC North, which the AFC North is usually one of those divisions that it's like, man, I don't want to face them because the Ravens and Steelers are always towards the top of the conference. This year, I think both those teams might take a step back. Like, the Steelers, Mike Tomlin's gone. You've got uncertainty at quarterback, no matter who, whether it's Rodgers or whether it's one of the young guys. And the Ravens, new head coach, John Harbaugh's gone. They, you know, you still have Lamar Jackson. You still have Derrick Henry. Not going to be an easy game, especially in Baltimore. But I do think that this schedule is favorable for the Titans in terms of opponents and the way it's laid out.
Yeah, that Bengals game might have 15 combined sacks for both sides.
Yeah.
The battle of mediocre to bad offensive lines.
And solid pass rushes.
Yeah.
You know, Trey Hendrickson's gone, but they've got Dexter Lawrence in the middle, and a couple of young pass rushers there that they've drafted in the past few years. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Today, the Nashville Sounds face the Iowa Cubs at First Horizon Park. First pitch is at 6:35, and you can catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan with me on the call. I'm filling in for Jeff Hemden.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be fun. Presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
Zendaya!
Yeah, this is like Shake It Up Zendaya.
Yeah.
Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Going through the Titans schedule, came out last night. You want to just run through this quickly?
Yeah, I mean, I've got mine ready.
All right, you've got yours. I have not done this exercise. I'm going to do it live here and just say whether I think win or loss. All right, I'm going to go win against the Jets in week one. I will go loss to the Eagles.
1-1.
1-1. I'm going to say they beat the Giants.
2-1.
That's tough for me. I think the Giants are going to be improved this year, but I do think the Titans win that game. I'm going to say lose to the Ravens, 2-2. Lose to the Texans at home. Lose to the Colts on the road.
Okay, 2-4.
2-4. Beat the Browns at home, 3-4. And I'm going to say lose to the Bengals on the road. So I've got them 3-5 heading into the bye, which, hey, you've already matched your win total from the last 2 years. I will say beat the Jaguars off the bye at home. Win their first divisional game since 2024. So that's win number 4. Lose to the Cowboys on the road. Lose to the Jaguars on the road. I'll say beat the Commanders at home.
Okay.
Lose to the Lions.
Okay.
I'll say lose to the Colts again. Beat the Raiders on the road. That's 6. I have them beating the Steelers at home in the final game at Nissan Stadium. I think that's a win. And then losing to the Texans. So I've got 7-10.
Okay.
That's my prediction. I've got wins against the Jets, Giants, Browns, Jags at home, Commanders, Raiders, Steelers.
Okay, so you and I have the same record, different teams.
Just different games.
I have 7-10 wins against the Jets, Giants, Colts at home, Browns, Jags twice, and the Raiders.
Okay. Yeah. So you've got 3 divisional wins. I guess I only have 2 or 1. I guess I have them going 1-5 in the division, which it's possible. But honestly, that could be the difference in this team being a 6-win team and possibly an 8-win team. Is like, can you win some of those close divisional games at home against the Jags, the Colts, and the Texans?
Sign me up for 7-10. I'm fine with that. That's, I don't expect this team to make any major playoff push this year, so might as well get as much momentum heading into the next season as you possibly can. 7-10, you're probably picking in that 13, 14, 15 range, I would
yeah,
say.
Yeah, you're like just outside the top 10, probably.
Which isn't bad. You're still going to get a player at a premier position. It's just you're not going to get that blue chip elite talent unless you trade
right
up.
But this draft coming up, again, it's way too early to be talking about 2027 draft prospects,
right?
But it does seem in general like there is a lot of high-end talent at some of those spots that the Titans might need. I believe tackle is a very strong position, and it's always good for there to be quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
No matter where, if you have a guy that you believe is your quarterback, and the Titans do, and I really struggle to believe the Titans will be looking to move on from Cam Ward after the 2026 season, I do think that no matter where you're picking, whether you're in the top five or picking later in the first round, it is always good for there to be a good crop of quarterbacks because it pushes everybody else down the board, or you can trade your pick for a haul to somebody who does need a quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, I can think of three or four right now that are being talked about at the top of the draft. We could say the same thing last year, and then
right, that's why I'm always skeptical, and that's why I'll say root for quarterbacks to do well. Yeah. This year, and shoot up the draft board.
I mean, you're rooting for Arch Manning. You're rooting for Dante Moore.
Yep.
You're rooting for Lenora Sellers.
Yeah.
DJ Lagway, maybe.
Lagway, is it Baylor?
Baylor,
now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess like Sam Levitt at LSU.
Sam Levitt.
Because he was being talked
Josh
about.
Hoover.
Josh Hoover at Indiana. Would have said Brendan Sorsby, but
I don't
know if he'll be playing.
No.
Trinidad?
Yeah, Trinidad Chambers.
Yeah, how did I forget about Dante Moore? He was going to be number two this year.
Rocco Becht.
Rocco Becht, where is he at Penn State now?
He's at Penn State.
Yeah, he followed Matt
Campbell. How can we forget about Ethan Grunkemeyer?
Yeah, there you go, Grunk.
Or what's his name at BYU, number 47.
Bear Bachmeyer.
Yeah.
He's going to play linebacker at the next level.
I love that they have Bear and Tiger in that family. Tiger Bachmeyer, Stanford?
I hate watching BYU just because Bear's number pisses me off every time I see him at quarterback. Number 47.
He does not look like a quarterback.
No, he does
whatsoever.
Not. Who was the Michigan quarterback who wore...
Devin Gardner.
Devin Gardner. Yeah, that's who, yeah.
What did
he wore like 98 or something like that.
He wore 16 prior, but then they gave him 98 for his last year. It was funny.
Richie from White House on the text line says, assuming the Titans go with that 7-10 record, will Amy fire Mike Borgonzi? They've had a pattern that every year someone always gets fired.
No. They'll extend him.
I think as long as this team shows marked improvement this year, and that doesn't mean going to the playoffs, it just means that this team starts winning games, and more than that, the young players look like pieces, right?
Yeah.
Like Cam Ward looks like a franchise quarterback by the end of this year. J.C. Latham and your offensive line are starting to gel. Carnell Tate looks like a possible number one wide receiver. Your defense looks good under Robert Saleh. Like, the win total is important. You have to win games, right? You can't have these moral victories and say, oh, well, they went 4-13, but, you know, Cam Ward still showed flashes. No, you got to show marked improvement this year. But I also don't think that net, like, the win total isn't the most important thing. I think the feeling coming out of this season is the most important thing. Does this team feel like a playoff team in 2027 coming out of this year? That is the one thing that I am looking for most. If the Titans don't make the playoffs, when they come off the field in Houston on TBD, January 10th most likely, do you feel like this team is moving in the right direction and can compete for the division in 2027? If the answer is yes, I think the team's moving in the right spot. If the answer is no, then yeah, maybe Mike Borgonzi might have to start to work.
I mean, I understand that line of thinking because like you and I have talked about plenty of times before, it's the circle of firing. Last year, it was the coach. If it's this year, it's going to be the GM. Next year, it'll be the quarterback and then so on and so forth. So,
right.
You know, Mike Borgonzi is next in line for the circle of firing if it gets that bad. But, you know, you and I have him going 7-10 and it's way too early to tell. But
right. If you get 7 wins, which is more than you've had in the last 2 years, everybody's fine. No one's getting fired.
Yeah. In fact, you might be, you know, you would expect Brian Daboll to probably go somewhere at that point.
Yeah, depending on what Cam Ward looks like.
If the offense looks, you know, if they get that total up from like 16 points a game to like 27, 28, he's gone.
Well, if he gets 28 points per game, he's way gone. I would be hoping just to be in the 20s this year would be a great improvement. I don't think anybody is on the hot seat heading into this season. Like, there's nobody...
You shouldn't be.
In terms of the leadership group here, you mentioned the quarterback is in there too. GM, head coach, quarterback. I don't think any of them are on the hot seat where it's like, you better prove it to me right now or you're gone.
Well, the guy that was on the hottest seat resigned.
Yes. But I also don't think any of them can feel comfortable with where they are, right? Like, none of them have any kind of safety. Yeah. If you're horrible this year, you could be gone. But I also don't think anybody is going in and needs to be seriously worried about their job. Like, for the Giants, for example, like, Joe Shane should be seriously worried about his job heading into this year, especially with John Harbaugh coming in and taking control of the roster. Like, out of their trio of Shane, Harbaugh, Dart, Shane is on the hot seat. Now, if you had to, if I had to say, who's getting the blame if things go south? I think Borgonzi probably would be the guy, but I don't see that happening unless this team is a total disaster again this year.
Yeah, I mean, it could be much worse. Joe Shane, you mentioned. I'd like to think Chris Ballard is on the hot seat, but he's been on the hot seat for like 8 years and still hasn't been fired, so
yeah,
we'll see.
The if they're bad this year, he's got to be gone, especially with no first-round pick. Right.
Oh, yeah, that's
like you.
Yeah, because they for Sauce.
You traded two first round picks for Sauce Gardner to go for it and miss the playoffs after starting like 8-2. If you're bad this year, Chris Ballard's going to be gone for mortgaging the future for a cornerback. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Matthew in Nashville says Zach Taylor needs to be worried.
Yep.
He's getting close to the point where I believe his contract is almost up. It might be up at the end of this year. The Bengals ownership doesn't like to pay people not to work, unlike the Titans ownership, which prefers to pay people not to work, clearly. But the Bengals don't like firing coaches because they have to pay them and pay another coach. Zach Taylor, I think, is getting to the point where he's going to be gone relatively soon if things don't turn around quickly. 615-737-1025. Hour number two is coming up next. We'll look around the NFL. Who's got the best chance to go worst to first in 2026? Looking at schedules now that we have them and looking at these teams that could end up making the leap this season. We'll also get into some college football in the second hour of the show as the 24-team playoff expansion has been running rampant this week with meetings in the ACC and the Big 12. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up with you on this Friday morning on 102.5 The Game.